we're going to talk about the idea of what a Christian mother has. A junior high teacher was teaching in science class, which is, I noticed a week ago or whenever I was talking about Brother Jim, and I said, how many of you know what Brother Jim does? And I never told you what Brother Jim does. But he was a science teacher for a lot of years. He taught science. I don't think this was him, but he was there was a science teacher teaching on magnets and the power that magnets have and how effective they are. And he'd taught a couple of lessons on magnets. And so he opened class one day and he said, well, we've been learning about a particular thing that, has the name of it has six letters and it picks up stuff. What am I? And half the class wrote down mother. And so mothers can be, something powerful that picks up stuff too, but that's not what they were supposed to be learning about. They're supposed to be learning about magnets, but, that's sometimes a perception. And mothers, it's a hard task and a job that God calls you to be a mother. But as a Christian mother, you have some benefits. You have some things that are exclusively yours and that you have the benefit of. And, we had for one of our verses of the month, Proverbs 31:30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. And a mother that fears God, a Christian mother, has some things. And I want to talk to you this morning about those things and hopefully stir your heart to express and maybe have some gratitude in your heart for the mother that you have had or that you might still have that is a Christian mother. And as a Christian mother, that you're here and you have children that you still impact, or as a grandmother, that you have grandchildren and children that you impact, hopefully stir your heart to take advantage and to use the things that God has given you as a Christian mother. So let me give you a couple of these thoughts. We'll open with a word of prayer, ask God to bless, and then we'll get into the message this morning. Lord, we thank you for this time to be in your house. We pray, God, that as we gathered here this on Mother's Day, we've come together, we've sang songs, we've expressed appreciation, we've shown gratitude for the mothers that you've given us. And Lord, we pray that in these few minutes that we look at the Word of God and we consider and contemplate the thoughts and the joys of the things that a mother has, I pray it would stir the hearts of everybody here and challenge the hearts of the mothers to be the kind of Christian mother that has and uses these things available to her. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. So a Christian mother, the first thing that a Christian mother has, every Christian mother, the first thing that she has is a Savior. She has a Savior. A Christian mother has a Savior. I can't imagine the challenges of motherhood and the challenges of that task without Jesus Christ, without a Savior, somebody that saved your soul. My mom grew up in the home of a drunkard. My granddad was a drunk. He couldn't stay sober. He was very, very smart. He worked for NASA. But he couldn't stay sober, so he lost his job. So then he just stayed at home and was an abusive father. He was a drunk. And my mom's mom knew the Lord. But my mom's dad would not let her go to church. But he didn't mind the kids being out of the house for a few hours. So he let my mom's mom get the kids up and send them off to church. So she would get them up every Sunday morning, my mom and her sister and her brother, and get them ready and send them off to church. Now, my mom, growing up in the home of a drunkard, she felt that she wasn't worth anything. She felt that she was not valued by anybody. And she went to church, and on March 11th, 1961, as an early teen, she heard a message and learned that Jesus valued her. Jesus valued her, and she felt the tinge and the draw of the Spirit of God talking to her and the message that there was somebody that loved her in this world and that loved her and wanted to see her saved. So there at the close of that service in a small Baptist church in Laverne, California, my mother walked the aisle to the song, "There's Room at the Cross for You." And to this day, my mom is moved when that message is sung. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though many have come, there's still room for one. Yes, there's room at the cross for you. And Mom walked the aisle as the one more that came in that small Baptist church in Laverne, California, and she trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior. And because of that, I had the joy and the benefit of growing up in a home with a mom who had a Savior, who knew Jesus. My kids get the privilege of growing up in a home with a mom who knows Jesus. At 5.5 years old, her mom knew Jesus, and her mom would teach classes and have Sunday school classes, and they were having a backyard Bible club at their house when Mary was just 5.5 years old. And the lesson that day touched her heart, and she realized that she was in need of a Savior. And so Mary trusted Jesus Christ at 5 years old. She has a Savior. You see, being a Christian mom is not just turning over a new leaf. Being a Christian mom is not just going to church occasionally. Being a Christian mom is not just letting the kids read stories about Jonah and the whale and David and Goliath. Being a Christian mom starts with having a Savior. So I ask you this morning, Mom, you might even declare yourself to be a Christian mom, but the question I have for you is, do you have a Savior? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, without any question, that there was a day where you recognized yourself as a sinner and that God loved you? God said He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died on the cross because He loved you. And He wants to forgive you of your sin and take you to heaven. It starts with having a Savior. Do you have a Savior this morning? Do you know the Lord as your Savior without question? I had the thrill of growing up in a Christian home because my mom had a Savior. Mom loved us. She read us the Bible. She prayed with us. She spanked the fire out of us. Mom had a Savior. She taught us in the way that we should go. Mom knew Jesus. During World War II, there was an American sergeant who was forced to bail out of his plane over Russian territory. And this Russian territory behind enemy lines, they saw the plane coming down, and Russian soldiers went quickly to where he was at. And these Russian soldiers, thinking him to be a German, they came on him very aggressively, and they pushed him down to the ground, and they had their guns drawn. And in fear for his life, the American soldier said, Amerikansky, Amerikansky. And immediately, the Russians changed their whole demeanor. Amerikansky, Amerikansky. And they hugged him, and they picked him up, and they carried him. They put him in some nice lodging, and they even gave him a valet. And they were so excited to have an American there because he knew the right word to say. Well, Mom knew somebody more important and a word more important than Amerikansky. She knew Jesus. Being a Christian, Mom, you have a Savior, and you know that. What a joy it is to have and to know that you have a Savior. This morning, do you know that you have a Savior? Not only does a Christian mom have a Savior, but a Christian mom has a sanctuary. A sanctuary. You know, it ought to be the desire of every Christian mom to spend time in church, to be around God's people. We had, as our verse back in April, Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, and so much the more you see the day approaching, but exhorting one another. No, I messed that up. I was supposed to go, but exhorting one another, and so much the more you see the day approaching. Is that right? I need to work on that verse a little bit more. That was our verse of the month. Anybody else want to quote it so I don't feel so bad? Hey, you ought to have a sanctuary. You've got a church and a church family to gather and to be strengthened and encouraged in the things of the Lord. I'll tell you what, the joy of a church and a church family that can help you in this task of raising your kids and training them and bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's something wonderful about a church family. Yesterday, don't worry about it. Just ignore it. If the lights go out again, just ignore it. And if the sound goes out, we might have... No, I'm just kidding. Hey, the joy of having a church family. Yesterday, I went to the hospital and visiting with Doug for a few minutes and praying with him. And I said, listen, if Christina needs anything at all, you let me know. Will you need us to take the kids for a while? She needs to be here at the hospital with you. Listen, the kids can stay with us. You need us to run down here and pick them up so that something, you got an emergency happens, whatever. Don't hesitate to pick up the phone because your church family is not just praying for you, but your church family is there for you. You don't hesitate. You call us up. And listen, there's something special about having a church that gathers around and helps you in that hour of need when you have a struggle or you have turmoil, or you have a test in your life. You have a church. Praise God. You got a sanctuary that you can go to. Amen? Every mom who has a Savior ought to long to be in the sanctuary with God's people. And I'll tell you what, your kids ought to see you go to church. Your kids ought to see you coming into the sanctuary, getting ready, not just sending them to the sanctuary, but you going to the sanctuary, you being there with them and encouraging them and letting them see your walk with God. You've got a sanctuary. Every Christian mom has got the joy of a sanctuary that she can gain strength and help from in this task that she's been called to. You ought to be active in the sanctuary. Not complaining about the sanctuary. Not criticizing the people in the sanctuary or the pastor in the sanctuary, but participating and active as a part of it. You know what? Your kids are going to get what you do. A whole lot more is caught than is taught. And if you tell your kids, hey, you need to go to church, you need to be there, and then you come to church on Mother's Day and you're like, I don't know why that pastor is getting all over mothers today. We're supposed to be fun today. We're supposed to be praising moms, not telling us what we need to do. What kind of spirit do you think your kids are going to get? They're going to completely miss the whole message about, hey, you need to be in church, you need to love God. They're going to get what you do. They need to see that in you, that love for Christ and coming through, serving and being what God wants you to be in the sanctuary. Not only does a loving and Christian mom have a Savior and have the sanctuary, but she has the Scriptures. She has the Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 5, we learn a little bit about Timothy and what his life was like. And he had a mom, and he had a grandma that taught him the Scriptures. They taught him the Scriptures. So much so that in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 15, the Apostle Paul says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make thee wise unto salvation. Timothy had a mother and a grandmother that knew the book. You see, Grandma, you're not out of the picture yet. You can still influence the kids. You can still impact them with your life and with the message that you have. Talking to them about the things of God and encouraging them. You have the Scriptures. And I don't know how many of you had the joy of growing up in a home and a place where your mom read to you the Scriptures. where your mom read to you the stories that are in the scriptures and talked to you about David and Goliath and talked to you about Daniel in the lion's den and trained you from the scriptures, the principles and the way in which you should live and the way in which you should go. But a Christian mom, she has the scriptures. You know, it's one thing to look at a child and say, you need to do this because I said so. And you know what? That's a pretty good reason. But you want to add a little bit more weight to that. You can say, you need to do it because God said so. Because God told you to. And training children in the principles and the way that they should go, not just because you think it's a good idea, not just because that's how you were raised. And maybe you were raised in a completely different way, but you see what the scriptures say and you say, kids, this is what the Bible tells us we should do. This is what God says we should do. This is the way God says that we should go. And we ought to follow and adhere to the scriptures. A Christian mother has a Bible, not just under your arm, not just that you carry, but a Bible that you study, a Bible that you read. Have your kids ever found you reading the Bible? I'm sure they found you watching something. I'm sure they found you cleaning the dishes or washing the kitchen or, you know, picking up. One lady said, my next house is not going to have a kitchen, just a vending machine. She's done cleaning the kitchen. I'm sure they've seen you do those things, but what about spending time with God? Have your kids caught you reading the Bible? Have they caught you in having a relationship with the Word of God? What about quoting verses? What about singing the songs that we sing, the verse songs? Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Bum, 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 bum. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. You ever sing those scripture songs? Do your kids hear you singing that? Do they know that you know the scriptures? You might have a family Bible. You know, especially years ago, it was very popular to have this big family Bible and it had your lineage typed out or written in the front of it. And it is a big family Bible that would get handed down. But does it ever get opened? Does it ever get read? A Christian mother has this book, the most important book in your house. You know, math is important. Science is important. English is important. But you want to know where your heart is? Are those things more important than this? Do you understand that if you just educate a criminal, you just have an educated criminal? You just taught them better how to steal? You taught them really, really good way to manipulate the system and get what he wants? Do you understand this is what changes lives? This is what makes a difference? Math and history and science and English and these things, they're all good and I'm all for education. But we got to be careful that we don't put education up here and the Word of God down here. This will make the heart of your child good. He might have a lot of head knowledge, and he'll never even talk to you. But if he follows this book, even though he's 40 years old, he's going to honor and love you and call you on Mother's Day and say, Mom, I love you. That's the difference between lifting up this book and lifting up science. You see, science today says that you came from a tadpole and it doesn't really matter. But God created you and you're responsible to him. And he said, honor thy mother and thy father. You know, last night our family read a passage of scripture and talked about Solomon when his mother, Bathsheba, came into the throne room. Here is the king of all the land, all power. He could do whatever he wanted to. He was the king. At his word, he could have had people killed. At his word, wars were started. And his mother came into the throne room. And the scripture says that he stood to his feet and he got his mother a chair to sit next to him. Showed honor and respect to his mother. Even that much later in life. Why? Because he understood and he knew the law that said, honor thy mother and thy father. And this is the one commandment with promise. He knew that. She has the scriptures. Not only that, she she also has supplication. She has supplication. You know, I feel like today's like a rainy day and you guys are all down in the dumps. Like you guys are all like, I mean, it just seems like you're just, this is a good day for sleeping, isn't it? But how about we wait to sleep till later, okay? I'm not going to be much longer. I'm almost done. I'm trying to give you something that encourages you. I mean, it ought to in your hearts and your mind's eye make you think and be thankful for the mother that you had. And if you didn't have a mother like that or you're a mother now, hopefully it'll challenge you to say, that's the kind of, I want to be a Christian mother. I got to have a Savior. I've got to spend time in the sanctuary. The scriptures have got to be valuable to me in the training and the bringing up of my children. And not only that, a Christian mother has supplication. Has supplication. I can't imagine going through life as a mother without being able to cry out to God. Without being able to pray and ask God for help. I mean, my mom said more times than one, and I'm sure you've heard very similar. My mom said, you boys are going to be the death of me. If God doesn't kill you, I'm probably just going to die because you guys, I'll tell you what, I don't know if there's anything that will drive you to your knees like your children. Children and the things that they do. I mean, if they're not getting into trouble, they're swallowing something they shouldn't be eating. They're sick as can be and they need prayer for their health. Or if they're well, they're out doing something and getting into something that's going to cause them harm. George Truett, this great preacher of the past, he told the story about him and his family growing up in North Carolina, and every morning they would see his mother go out into the apple orchard. When she came back from the apple orchard, she would have a little bit of the glow of heaven upon her face, and she would have a song on her lips. Every morning they watched as she did this, and Mr. Truett said that my brother and I, we wanted to know what was out in the orchard that, you know, made her so happy every morning. He said, we followed her one day and went out and we kind of hid by the edge of the fence row and we waited and Mom went a little further into there to the big apple tree that they had there and Mom knelt down under the apple tree and began to pray. They said, we listened for a couple of minutes and heard her call out to God and beg God for our souls. We heard her call out to God and ask God for wisdom and help in the raising and the training of her boys. And declaring to God that she couldn't do it alone, that she didn't have the strength by herself. And sometimes she was weary, but she needed His strength to accomplish the task that she was called to. And he says, we learned something that day. We learned the source of Mom's strength was her prayer, her supplication, her time with God. Kids drive you to your knees. I think of myself through my life and one day I walked into the house, and I'm not going to tell you this story because I told it in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, but I walked into the house, and my mom was sitting in the living room, and I walked past her and went into the kitchen, and I said, Mom, don't go ballistic, but I just shot myself. I said, I'm going to be okay, but I just shot myself with our 22. Of course, she came in to find out what happened, and I was okay. I remember another time where I was out playing. We had these monkey bars out in the back of the house, and I ran outside and I jumped. There was a 4-foot rock wall, and we put the monkey bars high enough that you had to jump off the rock wall to grab it. And I don't know if I was about 10 years old probably, but I ran, and I could jump to the top of the wall, and from the wall, I jumped to the monkey bars. Well, I had just been eating fried chicken. And I grabbed those monkey bars, and my body just kept going. I had all that momentum, and I flipped all the way upside down, and my hands came right off, and I went down to the ground, and I landed on both of my wrists. When I stood up, my wrists were hanging right here, both of my wrists. And I walked into the house, and I said, Mom, I think I just broke both of my arms. I remember one time I walked up from downstairs from the basement and I had blood coming down from my head. I've split my head open about 6 times in my life, but this particular time I did it with an axe. I stuck an axe in my head. You say, how in the world? The Bible says foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now I'm proof of that. So I came up and, Mom, I just stuck an axe in my head. What? I'll tell you what. I fell one time when I was 4 years old. I fell 16 feet and broke my left arm. You know, moms, you just can't do it without supplication, without prayer, without being able to turn to God. And sometimes you might be like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do with these kids? But at least you can pray to God and say, Lord, I need help. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. You know, the Bible says that the rod and reproof bringeth correction. You know, as a parent, you need wisdom to know when the rod is needed and when just reproof is needed. But it takes a balance of those two. Not just all talking to them. You can't just talk a kid into complete obedience. It's the rod and reproof. And you say, well, how do I know when? The Holy Spirit will tell you when. And you be in tune with the Holy Spirit and let Him lead you. But you got to have prayer and supplication. We got the thrill of praying and coming to God as a Christian mother. She also has, that's my outline because that's all literate. Now, this last point's not part of the outline, okay? But it's I couldn't come up with an S. Maybe you can help me with that. The last one is she has an occupation. She has a calling. And I'm not talking about the job that this world would want to have a lot of ladies do. But as a mother, you have an occupation. You have a job. You have a task to do that you've been called to. And that's to raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's to train them to be what God wants them to be. You know, Titus's mom did that. Timothy's mom did that. And in Titus, we read about the task of a lady. It says, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at home, to be good, to be obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, that's Titus chapter 2, verse 3, 4, and 5, if you want to read it yourself. A lot of things there that I said go against modern culture. They go against what people think today about the task, the occupation of a mom. A lot of ladies want to go out and get a job, and listen, I'm not opposed to you working, but if you've got little kids at home, your first calling is to your family. Your first calling is to your home. You know, your home is probably your biggest burden. But do you know it can also be the source of your greatest blessings? Yes, it takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of time and effort and prayer, and you can't do it without God. But that's what you've been called to. And if you do it right, you can experience the greatest blessings of your life through your home. You know, your kids need a mother, not a babysitter. Your husband needs a wife, not a mother. He had a mother, and when he got married, he wasn't planning to marry one. Doesn't need a mother. Your husband needs a wife. It's what you've been called to. Well, that was a pretty fitting comment. Suri is so smart, she knew she wasn't supposed to be talking during church. So they need a mother. They need a mother that teaches them. They need a mother that prepares them for life, that gives them a Christian heritage. Proverbs 1, verse number 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Proverbs 17:25 says, a foolish son is grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. You've got to train them right if you want to have the joy of your the blessings of a family. Dr. Carl Henry said, "One child lost to the faith usually becomes a family lost to the faith. It will not be many generations later that a whole community of unbelievers will be set against God because of the neglect of one mother." Because of a child lost to the faith becomes a family lost to the faith. You've been called to a task. You have a job. You have an occupation. My mother always said this: the choices that you make today are not for you. They will affect your grandkids. You see, we live our lives and we think about ourselves and we think, "Oh, I just don't feel like going to church today." The choices you make today are not for you. They will affect your grandkids. So you get up out of bed and you go to church, you go to the sanctuary, because it could mean the difference of your grandkid coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Because the choices you make today aren't for you. They're for those that follow you and come after you. As a mother, you've got a task. You've got an occupation, a calling. And the choices you make today, they're not just for you. They're for all those that come after you. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.